Welcome to Agape Ministries Podcasts, a whole new way of thinking. Episode 32, part 2 of Miriam Swaffield's teaching on See, I Am Doing a New Thing.
God is doing a new thing, and it's always going to be community, and it's always going to be about becoming more like Jesus, declaring his glory, being these image bearers. And that's way before we ever get to the teaching of Jesus that we all know about, go and make disciples of all nations, go and be my ambassadors of Christ, stuff like that. No. Genesis 1 tells you you're on a mission to join in with the mission of God, to declare the glory of God with your whole life, not just your words. The third thing that we notice in Genesis, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Just in case you weren't busy enough living in community with God and others, just in case you weren't busy enough being a divine image bearer, bringing something more of God to the world just by your presence and the way you live your life, then God in his grace speaks over you, you are blessed. And from that receiving of blessing, he says, now go spread this thing. Increase in number. Be fruitful. Multiply. See this thing go viral. Out of the blessing of God comes fruitfulness. Not out of our striving, we hope to get some fruit and then God blesses us because we performed well. Again, such a relief in the face of a performance-driven culture when we're all the time being checked up on, being watched from every angle, when we're constantly trying to perform in every area of our lives, online, offline, in job interviews, in expectations, in what the media communicates we should be like. The good news of Jesus, the new thing God does, is he resets the culture away from this, you are born to do something, into you are born and you are something because I've imaged you and I've blessed you. Now how about together we go see some more life, some new things spring up. The beauty of the blessing of God, that's been there from the start. The new things of God will be that you receive blessing and that you see fruitfulness out of it. So pay attention. When God does a new thing, it bears lasting fruit and it comes from his blessing, not your striving. So if this is all true, if we've got all these wonderful new things that God kicked off humanity with from Genesis 1, if we can hear that God's original design was all of these wonderful things, then why is it we have so many broken records that tell a really different story, to the Genesis 1 moments? Now, we know it only takes till Genesis 3 for us to see where the record starts to get broken, where the story starts to swerve, and where we start to get these broken record and stuck patterns of, I can't know God, I'm at war with people, and I'm trying my best to do something good in my own strength. You can really quickly see where the records begin to get stuck. If you turn with me to Genesis 3, I won't read the whole account, you know it, but let me just, if you just skim it with your eyes, you'll remind yourself of the way that scripture describes the story of God getting diverted and the record getting broken. Straight off, right at the start of this chapter, this slithering doubt comes into the story with the words, did God really say? Yeah. And straight away, this story of God's faithfulness, his closeness, his goodness and unity, a creeping question from the side. Did God really mean that? Did he really say that? And we begin to see the script get undermined. Because now people start to doubt their relationship with God, the first thing we were made for. And then secondly, they're called Adam and Eve in this story, but it could represent all of us in some ways. As humanity looks at the invitation of God for life, the invitation of God to set up healthy boundaries of what is not for us and what is for us, we start to see that slithering doubt of, did God really mean that? Does God really know best? What if I could be like God? What if I know better than the way of God? And before you know it, We've reached out and made our decision absent from the presence of God and his invitation. We've turned and made our own decision as God, and then we've offered it to our neighbour. It's no surprise that humanity in this moment, the record gets broken, our eyes are opened. It is no surprise that one of the first fallouts of this whole story of the record getting stuck is that people then feel ashamed in front of each other rather than one. Firstly, we turn away from the first call. You're made in community for community. Secondly, we turn away and then Adam and Eve are ashamed to see each other and they split, they hide, they try and cover themselves. And that division and that just that twisting of what male-female relationships could be like even kicks in. And then, of course, they start blaming each other. Well, she told me to do it. Yes, well, he told me to do it. Then humanity gets fractured with ourselves and creation. The animals they were told to take care of, they blame. The fruit and the trees they were told to cultivate, they've eaten the wrong stuff deliberately. And now they're like, well, now we've screwed up the whole garden story right now. And then in the middle of all that, God goes looking for them and just says, where are you? Knowing full well where they are, they're in a bush. But where are you? Where are you in relation to me? Where have you gone? And of course, instead of then God blessing us to be fruitful, God curses humanity and says, you're going to go and toil ground that is dry and not see fruit. You're going to have pain bringing new life rather than co-laboring with me and seeing the joy of new life in total unity. Do you see how from the start the script gets changed, the story gets stuck, and then you wonder why today we're going, why am I working hard and seeing no fruit? Why am I at war and fully comparing myself to the person next to me, feeling inadequate? Why has our culture sexualized our relationships rather than the brother-sister stuff Jesus intended? Like, what has happened? You see, the script got broken, the record got stuck, and these stories repeat. And this is why we need God to do a new thing. This is why it matters that Jesus steps in. This is why it matters that we still pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you bring breakthrough? Would you break the broken record? Would you unstick the story? And would you bring more of the presence of God? Would you bring us back to that Genesis picture of unity with God, with others, declaring and imaging the glory of God and being fruitful out of blessing? Would you take us back, God? Would you do a new thing that's actually an ancient thing? And would you bring us back to the start? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. This is the good news of Jesus that Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before he'd ever hit the planet. God steps into our world. He steps into our story. He enters the script that has been writing itself, often away from original design. He gets involved in humanity's broken records and he says, watch this new thing happen. I am making all things new. I am recreating your broken stories. I am unsticking the narratives that made you think you could never know God, never trust each other, and never live a life that counts. I am stepping into the narrative and I'm going to make a way for you. This is the new thing of God that is actually the ancient promise of God getting his kids back. Before Genesis 3, we were walking in community with God, talking with him in the garden in the cool of the day. When Jesus steps into the story, he says, you can now walk with the Father again. You can now talk with God face to face as if you're back in the garden. You get to be united with him and you don't need any other mediator. It's access all areas because Jesus made a way. Jesus re-scripts that story and unsticks the record. And now we know we have full access. We are in community with God once more. Before Genesis 3, humans were able to work as a team, not ashamed to be around each other or competing against each other, but working as co-laborers with God. When Jesus steps into the story, he starts to radically adjust how people have been treating each other. He starts to have dinner parties with the most rejected members of society and the leaders of society, and he sometimes blends the two together at his own expense. Jesus walks back into the story and starts uplifting women and making them disciples. And he starts hanging out with the most dubious members of the whole of society. In fact, Jesus only did his ministry because rich businesswomen supported his salary. Like, the bloke literally decided to only live as a consequence of women working with him, which completely rescripted the story of women being subordinate members of society. In fact, worse, not even like subhuman as it was at the time. Jesus starts to rewrite this story of brothers and sisters that we then hear over and over again in the New Testament. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters. He rescripts the story and he brings us into community with each other so that we can together image the divine picture of God. Before Genesis 3, humanity had automatic blessing to then go and be fruitful. When Jesus steps into the story, the first word that comes out of his mouth in his first public teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed. Over and over and over again, he takes the Genesis echo and speaks over people, you are blessed. What do we also see when Jesus is baptized before he does a thing? Around my birthday. This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You are blessed, my boy. Now go be fruitful. You even see this beautiful story of God doing a new thing that's actually an old thing in the wilderness moment. Jesus is blessed. He goes into the wilderness, and where every other story of the people of God in the wilderness has been disobedience when they walk in a desert for too long, Jesus, also in a desert, also in the wilderness, the Jewish people are reading this story and thinking, well, we know how the script goes, right? When the people of God go into the desert, God speaks to them, but they also end up making idols. We also end up getting into trouble. Half of us don't get in the promised land in the end. We know that we don't do well in deserts for too long. Jesus walks into the wilderness, comes face to face with evil itself. And when Satan says to him, worship me, make an idol out of me, make me God, Jesus rewrites the story. He unbreaks that stuck record and he says, no. He stands. He resists every temptation and he walks out to the wilderness in power to begin to bring the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus is the new thing that rewrites the story, that brings us back to Genesis, where we suddenly realize we can be in a garden with God. We can be co-creating into the garden city that we one day read about in Revelation with Jerusalem, covered in beautiful golden walls and yet also with rivers of water and life streaming through the city. Jesus is the new thing that takes us back to the ancient thing and reminds us what this has always been about. Do you see that? Do you notice that story through scripture? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now I could go on and on about all the ways in which Jesus fulfills hundreds of prophecies. How he steps in and rescripts our broken records and sets this new thing to be the ancient purpose of God. It is all over the Bible, story after story. And that is really good news where you've got broken records in your life, your family, your workplace, in our region, because we realise it is in the very nature and DNA of God to step in, to unstick the broken record, and to bring his new thing of life, community, blessing, and fruitfulness. It is what he does. That is why we can call this gathering new thing. That is why we can expect the Holy Spirit to do something new that actually brings us back to our original design. That really helps us pray when you realize you're not asking for something that God can't do. You're asking for him to be who God is, the God who steps in, who meets us and brings us home. Again and again and again. So I really encourage you over your time together, if you get an opportunity to think, reflect, and actually also pray with one another, notice, where have I been a broken record that doesn't sound or taste like the things of God or the way of God that we hear from Genesis onward is what we're made for? For some of you, the broken record is all to do with your own identity, and maybe you've never actually told anybody out loud. The way you speak over yourself when you look in the mirror, or the way you see yourself or compare yourself to anybody, not even, you know, I mean, it's easy to compare yourself to shiny social media accounts or online, on television celebrities, but actually even the way you feel inadequate with the person sat next to you. Maybe scripts of not being good enough or scripts of being so fearful you'll parent like your parents did and really hoping there's a different story for your family. We've all got scripts that Jesus would like to step in and say, let me bring you back to what you were made for. Let me bring you back into the community of God and his people. And let me bless you for a new day of fruitfulness. It might be you're thinking about your street, your neighbourhood. I know for me, I pray for my neighbourhood. I don't really know, other than in the spirit, how you break that level of addiction over my neighbours. But I am praying for a new day, a new thing, a new script to be written. And I do believe that's possible in the Holy Spirit. And I do believe he chooses to use normal people like me and you that are just full of his presence having a go. Maybe it is over the Northeast. You've actually, you know, I often meet people that either say they try and get out as soon as they can or they could never leave. What does it look like to be a hope-filled people who choose to stay because we believe fruitfulness is here? We believe the blessing of God is here. We believe the kingdom of God is a breath away. What does it look like to re-script the story of our neighbourhoods, our cities and towns, our villages? Even, dare I say it, your local churches. What does it look like to not always believe that they'll never change? We have to come to things like Celebrate because we'll never see it in the local. But it's nice that we get to go as the region to get our filling before we go home again. Wouldn't it be amazing if we began to say, Jesus, how do you script this church's story? And how do I in some way serve what you might already be doing? We're going to have a break now, but I'd love to quickly pray for you about that before we do. Is that all right? Why don't, just to keep yourself awake to what the Spirit's doing and not fall asleep in your chair, if you're able, why don't you stand? And I'll just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us now about that. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence in us and amongst us. Lord, even now I acknowledge that you're speaking. And so we give you the first word, Lord. Will you speak to us as we wait? Come, Holy Spirit, fill your church with your life. Lord, even now, I pray you'd start to open eyes to some of the scripts we've been believing, the broken records we've been carrying around and even saying ourselves. Lord, where is the record stuck? And presence of God, I ask that in that both convicting and healing and powerful, gentle way that you do, presence of God, I ask that you come and you begin to speak to us about taking us back to your original purposes and doing a new thing that brings us back to what we were always made for. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. I feel like for some people, it's the gift of faith that he's increasing in you right now because you didn't really have faith to believe that a different story is possible, particularly to do with some of your family coming to know Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would increase the gift of faith in us. That where we have struggled to believe another story is possible, I pray that you would give us new vision and fresh faith for it. And even right now, I feel like for some, there's just a gentle lifting in your mind around just basically having such a low view of you. And the Holy Spirit is just gently lifting the way you see yourself as being actually not worth being handmade by God, not worthy of the community he called you to. You've not noticed the divine image in you, but he has. So, Father, we speak your particular blessing over those that didn't really think they were worthy. Because when we are faithless, he is faithful. And there is yet more grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. And so, Father, would you shake us up for the rest of this time together? Would you not let us stick in our old broken records? Would you help us be brave at embracing the new thing? Would you give us the courage to ask for prayer from one another as community? And would you do remarkable work in us, Holy Spirit, that we might be a church and a family that look way more like you intended from the start, made in community for community, divine image bearers of you, and blessed to be fruitful. We love you, Lord. Keep working in us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys.
So thank you for taking the time to listen to these episodes. Our prayer is that as you listen and reflect on these teachings, that you'll be encouraged to continue your journey to maximize your potential to have a good and a happy life. So sign in again next week for more teaching on how you can follow the Jesus way to experience your life as filled with meaning, purpose, and joy. So God bless and stay safe.